The Ark of Millions of Years, Volume 2, 2012, and Harvest of the End Times. The Dedication. This is E.J. Clark. To my wonderful husband, who accompanies and makes it possible for me to travel the world in search of new archaeological finds, even though he hasn't the foggiest idea what he is looking for or at. I also want to again dedicate the writing portion of this book to my beautiful cat, Yoshabel, who always lies by my side whenever I write. This is Brooks Agnew. The world is changing so quickly, it sometimes overwhelms me. I'm not sure how to dedicate this book except to focus my love on the human race. We are probably the most amazing and incredible creatures in the universe. One thing is for sure. Many races throughout our ages have thought we are interesting because they have traveled to this earth from distant places in the galaxy to observe us and interact with us. That is not always a good thing. I am more convinced than ever that we are not alone. How does that fit into my training or my senses? I can't describe it. I doubt you can either. But that does not change the truth of it. And in my opinion, before December of 2012, we will have evidence of off-worlders that will shake most religions and traditions to the dust. You feel it the same as I do, but this feeling is one of the main reasons why I have dedicated myself to getting this book out 12 months after the first volume. The story must be told, and it must be told with all the facts and correlations right now. My wife, two sons, and two daughters have been more supportive than I can describe. They have addressed boxes as we've shipped your books. They've come to countless book signings and lectures and late-night expeditions into the mysteries of the universe through the eyepiece of a telescope outside in the cold. They have endured hundreds of hours of discussions about ancient calendars, civilizations, and planning meetings for travel to remote spots of the Earth. To them, I cannot express enough gratitude. Okay, this isn't an Oscar acceptance speech. I just want to say thank you to all the readers who have bought Volume 1 and written me such wonderful mail. Without hearing of your experiences of growth and wonder, I doubt I would have had the will to complete this book. Peace. The Forewords. The Ark of Millions of Years, Volume 2, is a continuation of some of the chapters from Volume 1. But the main and most important chapters will deal primarily with the end times. Your authors believe that we have uncovered new information that no one else has found pertaining to the end times, and particularly the Mayan 2012 end time date. We are the generation that prophets, seers, and revelators all spoke of when they used the words, in that day, to refer to the end time generations of this day. That we are living in the end times is no doubt. It is in the door. This book will open the eyes of your understanding on the end times in a way that no other book will. Its message is not one of doom, but to prepare for a great fulfillment of prophecy that will shortly take place. Three great ages are winding down. The sickle has been reaping and the harvest is almost complete. As with Volume 1, Volume 2 is non-denominational. Volume 1 is about the creation of the Earth, its birth, and ancient history. The future world was broadly addressed. Volume 2 will deal mostly with the end-time details and the ultimate destiny of this planet as seen through the application of the missing key, known as the Union of the Polarity. The key is the secret to understanding the creation's destiny and to the understanding of the Bible. Revelation is unlocked. Readers will still find the reference chapter, the beginning, in Volume 1 to be equally as helpful in Volume 2. I almost forgot to mention that since the writing of Volume 1, EJ and I and our spouses did travel to England and Scotland. We visited Stonehenge, Roslyn Chapel, and saw the Stone of Destiny. I had to return to the U.S., but EJ continued on and saw Hadrian's Wall, Avebury, and the British Museum. Later, we all went to Mexico and visited the archaeological sites of Tula and the magnificent ruins of Teotihuacan. Of course, we also spent much time in the Museum of Anthropology in Mexico City. I plan to see Machu Picchu in the Peru next year, that is, if the good Lord willing and the creeks don't rise. That's E.J. Clark. I used to think that life was fast moving. When I reached the age of 40, it was as if they'd shortened years to about 9 months. Then I hit 50. I don't think it's so much my age as it is the quickening of events that occurs on the earth today. We have just come through an amazing 5 years. The millennium aged and passed away. The sun began emitting different energy, more flares and more violent solar storms. Mars is closer than at any time in my lifetime. What an amazing red jewel to behold in the sky above my home in the country. We have watched surface exploration of Mars from our own screens anytime we want. We have landed on moons, touched a comet for the first time, and felt our own Earth rumbling as if reacting to painful fleas upon its skin. The next 7 years are going to be so full of adventure and calamity, I sincerely believe most men's hearts will fail them. In the last year alone, we have had 26 tropical storms, 14 of which turned into hurricanes. 3 of them were the most powerful hurricanes we can measure. The polar caps have just recently, suddenly, and almost completely disappeared into the sea. There were also 6 major earthquakes that killed hundreds of thousands of people and left that many more exposed to a killing winter. We have had tidal waves. We have also heard the groanings of ancient volcanoes threatening to awaken with sulfuric revenge. Our planet has warmed a little less severely than other planets in the solar system, and we still don't know why, or if anything can be done by man to stop it. We see the signs of a sudden and cataclysmic ice age upon us, and as in times of old, this realization is used by those engorged with greed and lust for political power to enrich themselves at the expense of everyone else. We have wars and rumors of wars like never before. The current world war uses ghost soldiers who, as if like wraiths, accomplish their merciless goal of killing every man, woman, and child who will not forsake God and bow down before them. They cannot be discovered before they strike, and they cannot be punished in this world for their murders. And it is not just the defensive soldier who is targeted. It is the very most innocent, tender, and loving people, peacefully sharing quiet joy with one another, that are shattered across the streets of rubble, stricken with a social asteroid pounding into the very soul of humanity. We will yet see the wealth of nations slip away like a bag of marbles dumped onto the freeway. We will discover openings to other places in the universe, or even into other dimensions. We will be officially visited by off-worlders once again, this time where the whole planet can watch. We will prove at last that my theory that oil comes from space, not from dinosaurs, is true. Every major disease will be cured. We will cure our first virus. We will discover the key to unprecedented human longevity, enabling those who can afford it the ability to live for hundreds of years. As youths, we were told that the things we read and studied over our lifetimes of these times were coming, even though at the time they seemed so distant and surreal. Now that we are all living in that future, the sounds are more moving, The smells are more pungent. Sorrow and fear and joy are inescapable. And the excitement of being alive in the age looked for by all the prophets is so thick it can be spread onto bread as the only sustenance of life. As we walked the ruins of ancient peoples this year, gathering our photographs and perfecting our study, it was as if we could feel the dedication of the builders to their faiths, the Mayans, Aztecs, Olmecs, not only learned great knowledge from their teachers, the Nephilim, and also the Shining Ones, they acted upon that knowledge and built the most magnificent cities and temples. Standing on the Temple of the Moon, looking north down the Street of the Dead, I was overwhelmed with the scope of their accomplishments. The entire country of modern Mexico cannot muster the manpower and funds necessary to restore and maintain these beautiful alabaster structures. Yet the ancients who built them and lived there did it with a population of barely 200,000. As I felt the same breeze and looked at the same moon and stood in the same spot that perhaps thousands of ancient explorers experienced, I wondered why so many modern civilizations believe so strongly that we are not alone in the universe. How could these ancient scientists and writers know of distant planets, space-time portals to other dimensions, and the relationship of matter to energy? How did they know of the Earth's 26,000-year axial precession? Why did they think the end of this age in December of 2012 would be so cataclysmically important for us that we needed their record to understand it and prepare for it? They knew we would need it. They were compelled with most of their labors with a mission statement: never forget. Well, the answers are in this book. The effects these ancient people had on the universe were lost for many hundreds of years. Some of the greatest civilizations are still hidden from us, but they will also soon make their existence known beyond doubt. But the hope of their existence is not lost. In the early 19th century, many of these truths were restored to the earth by inspired men. Although these truths fell on a deaf and stiff-necked people for nearly 100 years, by the early 20th century these ruins began to be unearthed. The words that had been preserved, their translators martyred, are now being read by you and millions of others. This most recent expedition taught me that the process of uncovering and maintaining these mighty edifices is a never-ending process. The wilderness reclaims these ancient structures with a fertile dust every spring, which blooms into life and attracts more dust the next year. Within less than 5 years, a structure looks like an ordinary hill again and needs to be re-excavated. But we saw a monumental effort to express to the world, and perhaps to other worlds, that they were a people that clearly understood where they came from, why they were here, and where they were going from here. We most certainly do not have all the details of how they built these unbelievable structures. We do not understand their date-keeping systems. The things we reveal in this book will change the very foundations of your life. You will discover things about yourself, your thoughts, and your potential that were once believed to be impossible. You'll know they're true. You won't be able to deny your heart as you read. There is so much more power and glory yet to be displayed in the human race. That is why you will also read about a change that has been evolving. Did I say evolve? Yes, indeed. As you learned in Volume 1, we are an organized being that evolves with time. The next evolution of mankind is about to take place. The ancients saw it. They wrote about it. They gave us a timetable for its occurrence. They also told us it wouldn't be easy. they tried it too, and destroyed themselves before they could reach critical mass. They too had their evil combinations that sought to destroy innocence and consume everything on the earth. They came to this edge more than once and ended in destruction instead. The human race is nearing that threshold again. Will we pass over into the new realm of peace and prosperity? Will we be able to read the signs left by our predecessors and choose a different future for our race? The future is in flux, my friends. It is not chosen for us. We have complete control over whom we will become and to what potential we will aspire. My hope is that millions will read this volume of our work and look at the future with different music. I hope they will see joy and peace and unlimited potential. I hope they will quietly lay their battle axes down and walk back to their families and realize that there is enough of everything for all. I hope the reader learns that we are not alone in the universe and that our relatives care about us. Whether you consider them divine or not changes no truth. I hope with all my might that we open our eye as a race and see, more than any mere nationality or genealogy, that we are earthlings. If you can't transcend the need to have faith in something, then have knowledge instead. Know who you are. Know where you came from. Know what you can become. Look upon the knowledge we have carefully inked on these pages and choose life.